Voices of Wisdom Bible Church, the church of a distinct Christian generation.
Last week, we started to look at principles of time management. So we are taking a second step into that subtopic, time management principle. And of course, when we started last week, we examine the realities about time in relationship to two major issues. One, timeless eternity or finality. It's a certainty about time. The certainty of a timeless eternity or finality anchored on Hebrews 9:27. For the believers in Christ, it's a timeless heavenly eternity. For those who refuse the gospel, who reject the gospel, is a timeless hellish eternity. You won't finish your race on the wrong side of eternity, in the name of Jesus. And the second is time-bound earthly opportunities. Hereafter, in eternity, it is timeless. The scriptures in Hebrews 9:27 stated that it is appointed unto men to die once, and after that, judgment. But while we are on this terrestrial ball, we have diverse opportunities that are time-bound, and urgency is on us. What do I say? Urgency is on us to maximize those opportunities. Otherwise, we miss them. So, the second key reality about time and man is the necessity of making the best use of the time-bound earthly opportunities for salvation, primarily, and for purposeful living, the salvation of your soul, and for purposeful living, that it will not be said of you that you are a waster of destiny. You will not be a waster of destiny. In the name of Jesus. That one can be anchored on a very strong message sent to all generation of young people by the wise King Solomon in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 verse 1. Remember now your Creator in the days of thy youth, why the evil days come not, nor the year draws nigher, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Two major experiences constitute life: pleasure and prayer. Pleasure and what? Prayer. And even pleasure that you would take as something, exhilarating, something to enjoy. There comes a time where you'll be disinterested in pleasure because you are going to face that fundamental reality of timeless eternity of finality. And so we were able to discuss extensively last week on the certainty of every man ending his or her earthly journey in a timeless eternity. Every man, without an exception, kings and peasants, nobles and servants, young and old, we will all end our earthly journey in a timeless eternity that could be either heaven or hell. So that theory of purgatory, whereby if you die, you are going to be kept in a place where you are going to have a second chance, and by reason of your relative praying for you, your sin will be getting pardoned gradually and gradually. Or the theory of reincarnation, that you can have a second chance at life, has no basis in the teachings of Christ and the apostles. Somebody raised a question along that line last week. It has no basis in the teaching of Christ and the apostles. And that is why necessity is on you, and a very urgent one for that matter, to make haste while the sun shines. Because you have just one lifetime. Tell yourself, I have one lifetime. I won't waste it. So, when you believe either the theory of purgatory or reincarnation, you do that to your own eternal destiny out. You do that to your own peril. And so let's move on today as we kickstart the necessity of making haste while the sun shines. And how do you do that? By maximizing the time-bound opportunities that are available to you in your one lifetime. One lifetime, many opportunities. What a gracious God. Are we together? One lifetime, multiple opportunities. The Lord will open your eyes to the advantages that God has allocated to your destiny. Is somebody listening to me? For every destiny portion, there are advantages allocated to it. The onus now lies on you to walk with God as to be able to discover the will of God for your life and take advantage of your advantage. If you will not call that tautology, but I think it should drive home the message. Somebody say, I will take advantage of my advantage. I will not waste my advantage. So for every destiny, God has allocated multiple opportunities. But they are time bound. They are what? Time bound. You will not miss your season. You will bear your fruit in your season. In the name of Jesus. So the reality of time-bound earthly opportunity will be the focus for study today. And these two major opportunities are bound for every man. What are they? Primarily, opportunity of salvation. Secondly, opportunity of success in all that you do. Know this about time. So let me give you some basic characteristics of time that will help you to know that when it comes to the issue of time, it's not a matter that should be taken with levity. Not knowing how to take advantage of the opportunities and tie them to resourceful activity is the root of destiny failure. The root of destiny failure is in not knowing how to recognize opportunity, take advantage of the opportunity, and tie them to resourceful productive activity. I said that is the root of destiny failure. Say, Father, give me wisdom to recognize opportunities, to maximize opportunity, to engage my life in resourceful activities that will make me successful in life. In Jesus' name. So, time is constantly changeless. So, know that about time. Time is constantly changeless. Time don't change. Time don't fade. Hello? But the energy of man fade. The wisdom of men fail. So, there is no old school time or new generation time. Is somebody listening to me? Time is time. Everywhere. And to everybody. Time is what? Time is time. So, your profit in life lies in what you do with your allocated portion of time. So, while we are still on this earthly ball, while we are still in our earthly tabernacle, what is our earthly tabernacle? Our physical body. We have that opportunity of time to face the reality of frailty of man. Time don't grow old. It is men that grow old. So before you grow old, take advantage of time. Are you with me? Take advantage of that benevolence of using either your long or short lifespan to do the right things and do it timely and rightly. It's not just about doing the right things, but doing it timely and rightly. Doing it how? Timely and rightly. That is the lifestyle of wise men who eventually become successful people. They do the right things in the right manner, okay, and at the right time. We're going to examine the story of a rich man that lived in the same dispensation with a poor man called Lazarus. Jesus told a parable about these two men. One, with all his prayer, still took advantage of the opportunity of salvation. The other one, with all the players that surrounded him, wasted his opportunity of embracing salvation during his one lifetime, thinking that there's going to be a second chance. There can be a second chance for several things while you are still alive. But once you close your eye in death, every chance is closed. Are you with me? So, I told you that in life, it's either you are enjoying prayer or you are facing prayer. So Lazarus was facing prayer. The rich man was enjoying pleasure. You see, pleasure has the tendency to make you think you have all the time. Prayer wakes you up to the urgency of time. If you are sick, you want to quickly get out of it. So you expect that God will shorten the time for you to quickly get out of the problem. Are you with me? But when it is prayer, okay, you think you have all the time. So prayer could be a honest experience in life in some respects. Whereas prayer can tell you a lot of lies, that you are in charge, that you are on top, that nothing can ever go wrong. Praise the name of the Lord. So don't believe the lie of prayer. It has an expiry date. Hello? So prayer could be a very terrible liar, very deceptive liar. You are in a position of authority today. Okay? And the prayer of office will be telling you that you will be there forever. The prayer of office will be telling you that you can do and undo. You are young today. The prayer of youthfulness, okay, will not make you to sit down and think and reflect that those babas and mama you are calling old school, okay, they were also as young as you are now. Are you with me? In fact, much more vibrant. I want me to hear Jaye Utielo, but today they are biting their finger that had we know, we will have used our youthful age productively. It will not be too late for you before you have a rethink and begin to do things rightly and at the right time. Am I talking to somebody? So, after all the pleasure that this rich man enjoyed, he closed his eye in death. He was buried, but by the time he will open his eye, he opened his eye on the other side of eternity to face the mother of all prayer, the reality of hellfire. Then he started to plead to Father Abraham. You know the story. We are going to read it in Luke chapter 16, from verse 19 to 31. He pleaded without success for a second chance at life after death. He was requesting that Lazarus will be sent to go back from death to warn his siblings not to fall into the same evil he committed when he was alive. But what response did he get? He was frankly told that such opportunity does not exist. The opportunity of a second chance at life after you have crossed the river doesn't exist. Verse 19 of Luke 16, Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 16, from verse 19. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen. So he has the resources to afford the best to wear, and fared sumptuously every day. What to eat, what to drink was never a problem to him. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, who had an experience of prayer all around him, not of prayer as of the first man, which was laid at his gate full of sores. He hardly can do anything of his own. They have to lay him at the gate of the rich man. Maybe the rich man will take pity on him and help him out of his predicament. So there were some people who did the best they can do. The best they can do was to transport him to the gate of the rich man and leave him there. Full of sores. And desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, while he took advantage of the opportunity for relationship with God, the advantage of good living, godly living. And so when he died, he opened his heart, okay, and met himself in everlasting enjoyment. You will end your race in life by the time you cross the river into everlasting joy. In the name of Jesus. Now, the rich man also died. Awayema lo si oro dede gbogbo wa la nbo. Awayema lo se kini o orun dede gbogbo wa la se kini o la nbo. And was buried. No record that Lazarus was buried. Probably those dogs that used to lick his soul even hurt him. We are going to get into that to also discuss who is the real man. You see this physical frame, this athlete tabernacle, or something else? Because even the man that was buried eventually got rotten. Hello? And was buried. Verse 23. And in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off. Once upon a time, he was the highly exalted that people look up to. Now, he had to look up to Abraham and look up to Lazarus. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. By the time they brought Lazarus to his gate, what were they expecting him to do? To have mercy on Lazarus. But he didn't take advantage of that opportunity. So when we talk about opportunity is not only about what you can enjoy. Opportunity is also about what you can give. Opportunity is not about what others will do for you. It's also about what you should do for others. So the advantage he has, maybe to do business and make money, he took advantage of it. But the other advantage, the other opportunity of also being a blessing to others, he failed at it. Now, the one man that at a time they were pleading with him to show mercy, now needed mercy. And they check his heavenly bank account, where morals are stored, where character are stored. Are you with me? Where benevolence are stored, and they discover that he was bankrupt. You see, don't die with your moral bankruptcy, because if you die like that, you will end up in hell, a place of torment and suffering. Hello? Many of you are concerned when your is it monetary bank account is empty. your moral life, your spiritual life is reading zero everywhere. And you are thinking all is well. All is not well, oh. All is not what? It's not well with somebody whose moral life is reading zero, whose spiritual life is reading zero. It is the kind of bankruptcy that when you get to heaven, you are going to know how disastrous it could be. So, he had not shown mercy, and so he did not deserve mercy. Then this mercy he was requesting. He was requesting it from the one he never showed it to. So, he was crying. He was in torment. Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime received thy good things. Yea, he received not one good thing. I said, hey, one lifetime, several opportunities, multiple opportunities. Receive thy good things. I call it your portion. Are you with me? He didn't usurp another man's portion. It was his own portion, thy good things. And likewise, Lazarus, evil things. But now he is comforted and thou art tormented. So even prayer has its expiry date. Life problems and challenges have their lifespan too. They have their self life. They will also come to an end. So don't, because of prayer, misbehave. Don't, because of prayer, do what? Misbehave. And verse 26, and beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which will pass from hence to you cannot. Hello, it's only on earth we can backslide. Once you made it to heaven, no more backsliding. Are you with me? Neither can they pass to us that will come from thence. So, listen to this and listen good. The theology of hereafter, the theology of life after death, the theology of where are we going after death is a very simple one. We can only make it complex by introducing reincarnation, introducing purgatory. Am I talking to somebody? It's a very simple one. There's no complexity about it. The cities there are just two. In hereafter, the city there are just what? So the geography of heaven is easy to understand. Hello? So the climatic conditions there are just two. One city occupied by God is angel, Abraham, Lazarus, and all of us say, who go there? It's called the city of heaven. Hello? And then there's another one, prepared for Satan and his angel. And those who will disobey God, those who refuse the gospel, who will follow there, who are not ordinarily destined for that place, who go there, men like this rich man that went there, and that other city is called hellfire. And I said, the climatic condition there, so easy to also understand, just two. There's no complexity of trying to study meteorology before you understand the climatic condition of life after death. One is the tormenting ass condition of hell. where they are grilling with pain, gnashing their teeth. And of course, where the saints of old as God, where you and I will go as we hold to our faith in Christ Jesus and we live right, is the comforting condition of heaven. And may I add this to the theology of the simplicity of hereafter, that both of these two cities has entry door without exit door. The entry door to the city of heaven is our Lord Jesus Christ, who came and said it with every authority and affirmation, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one come unto the Father except by me." And of course, not every relationship with Jesus make you a follower of the devil. And as you follow the devil, where the devil ends is where you will also end. My prayer is that you will not end your journey in hellfire. In the name of Jesus. Because that man was permanently there. He knew there was no exit for him to come out. So there's no exit door. And then he thought that, okay, let Lazarus be sent back. Okay? And Father Abraham told him very frankly that in this place too, just as there is no exit door for you, there is no exit door for us here too. Don't cut short our enjoyment. In fact, if they sent Lazarus, Lazarus will honorably say, "Father Abraham, not so, my Lord. I have suffered my portion of suffering on earth. I will," hallelujah. I don't want to take any break at all from this reality of enjoyment. So verse 27, then he said, "I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wilt send him to my father's house." Verse 28. "For I have 5 brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment." Abraham said unto him, "They have Moses and the prophet. Let them hear them." You also have me as your pastor, other colleague pastors, and preachers of the gospel everywhere. Hear them now. Hear us now before it is late. And he said, "Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent." And he said unto him, "If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead." What are we saying? Time is a spiritual commodity. Time is a spiritual commodity that must be invested with the economic mentality of achieving both earthly and eternal profit. So the summary of what we are saying is that time is a spiritual commodity. You must invest your time with the economic mentality of achieving both earthly and eternal profit. Now, let's push it a little further by checking on the origin and spirituality of time. Can we still go on for another 15 to 20 minutes? The origin and spirituality of time. Yes, we have said that eternity is not time bound. But our time on earth is a spiritual phenomenon. that will count in eternity. So, our opportunity at life is time-bound. But that time-bound lifetime is a spiritual phenomenon that will count in the timeless eternity. So, stop viewing time as just an arithmetic figure of human age. Time is not just an arithmetic figure of human age. You need to know, as we have read about the death of Lazarus and the rich man, that death does not terminate man's true existence. Death does not terminate man's true existence. What does death do then? It only ends man's earthly experience. Death does not terminate man's true existence. What it does is that it terminates man's earthly experience. Are you getting the clarification? Because when Lazarus died, we saw him somewhere else. We saw him in his final destination. When the rich man died, he left the temporary destination for the final destination. So what death does is that it removes the true man from his human body to face the reality of eternity. The man is not this physical frame. So death will remove the man. You understand that word? So that he can face the reality of eternity. What has the apostle got to teach about this? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. From verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved. This was an employment of a comely language to honor human body. The appropriate word would have been, if our earthly house of this tabernacle decomposed and got eaten by maggots. Because when we'll die, no matter the environment, okay, this earthly tabernacle will still dissolve, will still decompose. Growing up in my local church in our community as a choir member, we have this song, Onje Idini Arami. Onje Idini Ara Lumu Lumu Taunpon Gege. Onje Idini Nenu Sari. But beside this earthly tabernacle, the apostle went on to say, we have a building of God. Because when we're created in the image of God. So the image of God is not the physical body. We know that the physical body was made of mold. But there was a breath that God breathed into man that made man a living soul. That living soul that cannot die, that will come out of the earthly tabernacle, is what the Bible calls a building of God. An house not made with hands, eternal in the heaven. For in this we grow, earnestly desire to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. So this mortal body will be taken away, then another one will be given to us. If so be that, being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, we are under prayer. Being burdened, not for that we will be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. So this flesh, this physical frame, is an entrance to human's full consciousness of his spirituality. Hello? This physical body is an entrance to our full consciousness of our spirituality. The human body does not allow us to realize that we are first and foremost spirit being. Those of you who attend Bible study regularly, okay, we made that clarification. Okay, that man is not spiritless, because some people think, or some believers hold it erroneously, either consciously or unconsciously, that they become spiritual only when they get born again and receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? So the spirituality of man is in his making. But this flesh is an entrance to our full consciousness of the reality of our spirituality. So when by death man is removed from his physical existence, man is removed from his physical body, man is removed from the flesh, he will become fully conscious of his spiritual reality. That is why, for the first time, okay, the rich man, okay, became spiritually wise. For the first time, he became spiritually minded. He offered to be an evangelist. And said, if I don't have that opportunity, can I use my influence? You know, he knows what influence means. When he was there, and prevailed on Father Abraham to send a emissary. Okay? If it were possible, if Father Abraham had allowed him, okay? And if it were possible for him to have gone to heaven with his wealth, he would have said, I will finance it, whatever it will take, any amount to be spent. Okay, I'm ready to provide the fund for everybody to hear this truth. He offered to become a financier of the gospel. Wow. The entrance to the consciousness of his spirituality, which is the human body, is gone. Are you with me? Somebody preach, and I don't hold a contrary opinion, okay, that when you get to hell, you won't find an unbeliever, but you will find those who believe late. Hello? In context, that statement is very correct. They believe, but they believe when the faith is not useful for them. So you better believe while you are here, because it is only now that your believing can be profitable to you. Am I talking to somebody? So this physical body, this body is only our physical identity. The spirit is our true reality. Man's true reality is his spirit. The physical body is only an identity. Oblong face, dark skin, light skin, slim frame, okay, rotund frame, and so on and so forth. Meant for mere earthly identity. Our spirit is our true reality. But very unfortunately, many of you, you are taking generous care of the identity and suffering the reality. After this message, one of the best use you can make use of it is to starve your flesh that is demanding for worldly pleasure and feed your spirit. Okay? That will end your spiritual bankruptcy so that you can be rich towards God. May the Lord help you in Jesus' name. And so, when we look at chapter 4, we have read chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians. We have read chapter 5. But when you look at chapter 4, it is verse 18 that ended chapter 4. The apostle said, "Why we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal." But the things which are not seen are eternal. So our true reality, our spirit, that somebody is covered, can come up and say, "Pastor, show me my spirit. How does it look like? Brown, white, or green? Tall or short?" Okay? It's more real than this physical body that will be eaten by maggot and death. So everything in the terrestrial component of the universe is time bound. That is the summary. And that's what we are discussing today. Time bound earthly opportunities. So understand that time is more than arithmetic of counting days. It's more than the arithmetic of counting weeks. Time is a spiritual phenomenon with implications that is much more than arithmetic of counting months, years, decades, centuries, and even millenniums. Time is something deeper than calibration of lifespan. It's more than event span. Okay. Sunday service starts 7 a.m., it ends 11 a.m. No, time is more than event span. I spent 6 years in primary school, 4 years in the university. Oh, listen to me. You get to make use of time more than just using it to regulate event span. Am I talking to somebody? Yes, it's more than what you can use calendar or scientific equipment to measure. Time is a spiritual. Understand, to maximize time, you must privately go to God's school of wisdom to be able to account for your lifetime. What have I recommended? Go to God's school of wisdom to be able to account for your lifetime. And it's not my recommendation. A great king made that recommendation in Psalm 90 verse 12. So teach us. He was not talking to the scribes. He was not talking to the prophets. Okay? He was making this appeal to God Almighty Himself. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. So to actually understand this spiritual phenomenon called time and maximize it, you need to go to God's school of wisdom, a private school where it will be your personal tutor. Okay? You don't go as a set. Okay? 2023 set. Okay? Of God's school of wisdom. You go as an individual student. And ask God, teach me And like I said last week, there's no better time to teach this message than this time when we're about to cross over to another opportunity of 365 days. So you need to take stock of the last 365 days. How well have you spent it? How well have you invested it? So take note that this spiritual phenomenon called time exists in advance of the creation of man. So, and that is one of the reasons you cannot prove that you understand time, because time is your senior. Tell somebody, time is my senior. So that's one of the reasons you must respect time, because some of you don't respect time. Time exists in advance of the creation of man. So time is senior any man, no matter your status in the society, spiritual status, academic status, social status, financial status, political status. Time now your senior. Hello, Oga. Time, okay, is also Oga over you. Man was born into time. Man was born into what? Into time. Man did not invent time. In your color, da akoko. Olorun lo da akoko. O de da akoko saju eyan. What man invented are mere human measures of time. What we invented are mere human measures of time. And of course, if you listen carefully to Dr. Bob last week, he mentioned that it's outside man's capacity to manipulate time. That's my own way of putting what he said. It's outside our capacity to manipulate time. Why? It has been fixed. So what you can do while you are alive is to structure your activities within time. So you can have more or less share than your neighbor per day. Hello? Biden, as if they break over him, 24 hours. Tinubu, how many hours? Grave digger in your village, how many hours? Equal to all time, to all men, within the frame of the time that you are alive. So, time management is not management of time per se. That was the issue Dr. Bob was driving last week. Time management is not management of time per se. It is management of your activities to maximize the already fixed time. You maximize your activity to, or you manage your activities to maximize the already fixed time. So you don't waste your time on frivolity only to wake up later and discover that the important issues of life have been left unattended to. So, don't graduate from your university. Okay, and after graduation, you now look back and you discover that you have missed several opportunities. Orientation in events. Okay? Before or after matriculation, some will not pass through it. I struggle with some people when we discuss and we talk and they present issue to me. I became very uncomfortable because I don't see logic in their discussion. Because there are certain level of relationship and command of communication that you expect to see in an average graduate. Are you with me? Yes, you have gone to study art, but among the general science courses you take, there's going to be something related to scientific thinking. Are you with me? You have gone to study medicine, but among the general courses you are going to take, there's going to be something related to current affairs. But while you were there, this one does not matter, that one does not matter. Then you get into the larger society, you now discover that those things you think does not matter are very, very relevant. Am I talking to somebody? So this issue of time, respect time. Because it's your senior. By maximizing it. So long before the Babylonian and the Egyptian began to measure time, that was about 5,000 years ago, for the purpose of organizing and coordinating their community activities and public events, they started to measure time to schedule the shipment of goods, in particular, to regulate cycle of planting and harvesting. Long before that, God himself first measured time by the creation of day and night. Now, let's root what I've been saying or alluding to in scriptures now. That man was born into time. Man did not create time. So you must respect time. Genesis 1:14. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And so, by this spiritual pronouncement, time was born. Hello? When was time born? Time was born on the third day of creation. A man was created on the sixth day of creation. In fact, second half of the sixth day of creation. Who, senior, who? Hello? Arifini pe ko man fi akoko sofo. Arifini pe ko man si igba lo egme ni gba. Hello? I know ye ni. I know this because to some degree I've attended some class session in the school of God's wisdom that King David recommended. Teach us to number our days, not just in arithmetic figure of numeracy and counting. 1, 2, 3. I'm 3 years old. I'm 6 years old. I'm 7 years old. Within that lifespan that you have spent, there are things you will have to account for. So even for the measurement, what the Babylonians did and what we are doing today, okay, God also did, okay, put measures in place for us to measure time. So, he instituted natural space phenomenon by which astrologers and meteorologists were able to classify climatic occurrences into season and time. So, God even instituted that again in chapter 8, verse 22. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. So it is now the wisdom of reading all of this that graduated into time measurement. Are you with me? So modern measures of time took their bearing from natural method instituted by God. So that's why in 2 Kings chapter 20, we're going to read about the dial of King Ahaz, whereby out shadow is cast and out shadow fade was used to measure time. Are we together? Let me read that for us in 2 Kings chapter 20. And Ezekiah said unto Isaiah, verse 8, what shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me, and that as I go up into the house of the Lord the third day? Verse 9, and Isaiah said, this sign shall thou have of the Lord, that the Lord will do the things that he has spoken. Shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees or go back 10 degrees? Just as we now calibrate our clock and we say between 12 and 1 is 60 seconds. Are you with me? To tell you that the ancient men also woke up early to the reality of the usefulness of time. Are you with me? No wonder they accomplished great feats. Verse 10. And Ezekiah answered, it is a light thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees. Nay, but let the shadow return backward 10 degrees. And Isaiah the prophet said unto the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backward, by which it had gone down in the dial of Ahaz. So what are we saying? The same thing I have been saying, I will repeat again. No man is above the influence of time. So stop behaving as if you can control time. Hello? Control your time. Control yourself so that you can get benefit of time. You can't control your time. You can't control yourself is the reason you can't keep time. If you control yourself, you will be an excellent manager of time. Tell somebody, control yourself. Control your sleep. Control your speed. Control your mindset. If you do all of that, you will be an excellent manager of what? Of time. Because no man is above the influence of time. Listen. The matter is serious. We are looking at time-bound earthly opportunity when it comes to the influence of time on a man's destiny. So time is a major factor to be considered when determining whether a man has lived a purposeful life or not. When we have to determine whether you have lived a purposeful life or not, time is a major factor that will be considered. Therefore, any force, assignment, course of action that can make you waste time is a life waster. Anything that can make you to waste time is what? It's a life waster. Hello? The reason I take my time to listen to God and make sure that every service you attend had value to your life is because I don't want to be a waster of people's destiny. Are you with me? Come to church, okay? You should be able to say, this is the value my coming on Sunday has added to my life. This is the value my coming on Wednesday has added to my life. Are you with me? So any activity that does not come with value is a destiny waster. Let it be a spiritual activity. Hello? Let it be a social activity. Once it is not adding value, it's a destiny waster. Any company you keep that is not adding value to you, and you spend time with it, you are being stupid to allow such company to waste your destiny. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Okay? I'm Fanida. Itesiwajuda. Hello? Ọlọ́run ó pa àlá láàrin ìwọ àti àwọn ọ̀rẹ́ afàyàmọ́sòfò. That's why when a man succeeds, like I said last week, at a relatively young age, it will draw attention and applause. Have you heard? Grace for early mercy come upon you. Like I prayed last week, if you have been enjoying it, may you begin to enjoy it at Mega Mayo.
Amen.
And for our children, grace of Hallel Mercy will journey with them.
Amen.
And they will make better advantage of it than us.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
So when success delay, or when it drags in coming, it will create concern and anxiety. Is that not so? A course that will last for 18 months and you are still there 5 years, you have not graduated. It will create concern and what? Anxiety. At 25, okay? No brother is coming to say, how you do, sister? 27. 28. 30, 32. Oh, ni 30 lori oro oko. Oh, Sammy. Bless me, Sammy. Mo lo ni 30 lori oro oko. Am I talking to somebody? Gbogbo en to tin pe fun egba anu loruko Jesu. Gbogbo agbara ton fi ayanmo sofo. Mo ba won wi lori aye yi. Irin ajo si se rere o ma ya yin ka 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 ka. Je ka mi e na se ka 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 ka. So when success delay or drags in coming, it creates concerns and anxiety. Long years can only be a thing of pride if they are filled with successes. Emi lagba. Are you with me? Emi legba. Okay? You know, bother me. Please come and bother me. Listen, it can only be a pride if they are filled with what? Successes. Your years will not be barren of breakthrough.
Amen.
And like I said, and I keep saying, otherwise, age is useless when success is absent. So we can credit the invention of the clock to man. You can't credit the creation of time to man. And that's why you can't joke with time. Hello? To ba se pe eyan lo se da akoko a le fi sere. Awon kankan na si be teyan gan sa to lo teyan gan da ta le fi sere. So Ọlọrun lo se da akoko oponu ni o to ba nfi akoko sere. Awon ojogbon kan wa ti won o kawe. Sugbon won ka la kaye. won ni ma fa aro si ri ore mi ise ni a fi di eni giga ati be be lo se di o fagun wa ni or which of them di o fagun wa the man is long dead but nto fa koko e se o la ton soro kan yi o ngba ti wo no ba si mo ki la so pe o fi igba ti e na se ara wo lo fi da o fi kegbe kegbe o fi rojo officer officer eyin kiri hello wa gbele aye se rere say I will live to do exploits so time is a spiritual phenomenon from which we can understand the correlation between the reality of heavenly, endless eternity and the reality of earthly, time-bound opportunities. Time is a divine phenomenon. It is a byproduct of the events of creation. So, the origin of time is tied to the creation of two great lights. One to govern the day, the other to govern the night. So, the earth itself will have been a timeless eternity. But because on the third day of creation, God created timeline, is the reason we have time bands. Are you with me? Assuming what happened on the third day of creation did not happen, we too would have been living in eternity. Are you with me? Our world too would have been timeless. So, and God instituted timeline for purpose. So, for the same purpose, take advantage of time. Apply your heart unto wisdom. So the earth was as timeless as eternity. Not until the third day of creation when God created timelines. Are you with me? Now, time will fail me to go into some level of discussion. Do you know when you look at Bible record, the earth is not older than some 6,000 years. Are you with me? But scientists will be talking about millions of years. Is that not? And you are confused. You want to say who is right. Hallelujah. What the scientists are simply doing is that they were probing into the timeless eternity that the earth was before God did the works of the third day. Are you with me? Are you with me? So that they are saying this one, they have looked at this and they checked this rock, they checked that and they did some coding and this one is 1 million years and you're saying maybe the Bible is not right. The Bible is right. Only that you are here to understand the Bible the way you ought to understand it. Am I talking to somebody? Genesis 1:14, and God said, let there be light in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. You see, when you look at the works of creation, God did not import elements from heaven into the earth. Hello? But he called things forth from the earth. Are you with me? So if the scientists are making effort to try to determine the age, whatever they have determined, okay, is still not accurate. Because this thing existed in timeless eternity that, was a kind of aborted when the work of the third day happened. Are you with me? And let there be for light in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. So, for how long the heaven has existed, and for how long it is going to exist, is timeless. But for how long the earth has existed can be determined both theologically and scientifically too. Are you with me? And what science finds out, theology will explain. And that's what I'm doing now. Are you with me? So science may be doing discovery, okay? But they cannot come to the right understanding, the correct understanding, until they go back to the scriptures. Okay, thank God, to some degree, before the divine interruption, I can also confidently say I fit into the class of scientists. Praise the name of the Lord. So, for how long the heaven has existed and for how long it will continue to exist is timeless. But how long the earth has existed can be determined both theologically and scientifically too. God allowed that so that man can apply his heart unto wisdom and live well. Again, Psalm 90:12. So teach us. And he's teaching you this morning. Is somebody learning? Is somebody prepared to change his attitude towards time management? So teach us to number our days that we apply our heart unto wisdom. And like I said, I desire many years for you. I pray for the grace of longevity for you. Okay, but that you will live long does not mean you should play away your holidays. Are you with me? Why? Because time and season happen to every man. Okay, you may live to be very long, but there are certain seasons. If you miss them, those seasons may never be repeated. Am I talking to somebody? Yes, sir. Okay? Sherry, akoko yato si igba. Akoko se kini o. O yato si igba. Akoko le gun. Okay? Ninu akoko to gun ye. Awon ipin igba wa. Hello. Oni is a Oni wasu ori keji ori keta. O ni akoko ati igba wa fun ohun gbogbo. Okay? Ko wa so pe akoko bibi, sugbon o ni igba bibi. Am I talking to somebody? So, seasons are six segments within time. If I may say this and you will take it in the right context, you can redeem the time, but you may never be able to redeem some season. Toba sonu. Are you with me? Igba ko ni o, I mean akoko ko ni o si fun elomiran igba lo sofo fun won mo gbadura fun olone ati igba ati akoko ko si okan to ma sofo ninu aye re igba ti lepa wa njo lepa hello to ba lepa nigba ti o ye ko lepa akoko kan bo to ni nipa mo lati lepa. Hello. So ti mo ba wo yin nigba mi ti oju mi ba kore lowo oye mi nigba igba ti akoko loju tu yin lo pe ese wa nse yan bi oka bayi. Oju ade ni ki gba mi ma koja mi Jesu Christi, Pamisi, Oswa, Kaki Kumi, Makojami, Ayer, Ayer, Wadami, Long, Ongbogbo laye o labe orun oni gba nbe fun Ongbogbo laye o labe orun o lo ma lasiko and so on and so forth. God bless you for helping me out. Now imagine this King Josiah, who assumed the throne at age 8. Imagine if he had foolishly thought he could lavish his youthfulness on carnal and careless living in the hope that he will amend his way at old age, as some youth are doing today in self-deception. 2 Kings 22. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. Had 31 to 8. Simple arithmetic. 31 plus 8. So at what age did he die? Do the ratio. 31, okay, over 39. What percentage? Quickly, quickly, quickly. Bring out your phone. Multiply by 100. What do you get? I didn't bring my chalkboard today. I thought I would not get to that dimension today, and we are there already. That's the spirit of the season. You have not been able to do that. 31 divided by 39 times 100. 79. That's about 80% years of success. Years of impact, years of achievement. Now you are already that 39 or near that 39. Okay, let's assume that graciously God has added another 70 to you. With the rate at which you are going, okay, what percentage of success will you make out of your long years? Am I talking to somebody? His mother's name was Jedidah, the daughter of Adiah of Bosca, and he did that which was right. You do the right thing, okay, and at the right time. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the way of David his father, and turn not aside to the right and to the left. Rise to your feet. I say, Father, grace to live, to do the right things, grant unto me, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Will you talk to the Lord? Talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord. Grace to live right and do the right things with my one lifetime. Lord, grant unto me in the name of Jesus. Grant unto me, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh, praka fayanda sete mokaba. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. The Lord will help you in Jesus' name.
We believe you'll be blessed by the ministry of this message. You will do well to be the doer of all you've heard. For further inquiry and spiritual help, contact this number 080-3568-5882 or worship with us at Oasis of Wisdom Bible Church, adjacent University of Ilorin Teaching Hospital, Okeosi, Ilorin. God bless you.